time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. We're here with Steve Stone on a walk through the garden. How are you doing this morning, Steve?
Doing really good. Nice, brisk fall morning.
Yep. And if anybody's listening, we'll be doing this show. It'll be a little bit abbreviated. Steve has to head to Salina, and I have to head down to Ambassador Park and get my WOW ticket. They go on sale 1 minute ago.
Heck, they'll be sold out by the time you get there.
Well, there's 8,000 this year instead of 3,000, so I think
they still may be sold out by the time you get there.
That's true, because it is unlimited tickets per person. Last year it was one per person.
Oh, geez.
So there'll still be some down there, and you can buy them online too. If you decide you don't want to drive down there, go to wowraffle.com or .org. I can't remember what it was. I was going to look it up this morning and forgot to see what it was. But so anyway, we're here talking about growing things.
That's right. We talked about it the last couple of weeks, and fall is just a great time for planting. Really planting about anything, woody trees, shrubs, perennials, whatever. It is a little bit dry. I think there's a possibility of some showers coming through maybe tonight, tomorrow, but it doesn't sound like anything very organized. The ground is, really, really dry at this point, so it is a good time to plant. You just simply need to water. I've talked basically all through the month of September that September is the best time to get your seeding done. And obviously we're out of September at this point and into October. With the extended forecast looking pretty mild, fairly warm, I wouldn't hesitate to, seed. In fact, I've got some project at home that I'm hoping to get seeded this weekend if the weather cooperates. And yes, I'm probably 2 or 3 weeks behind where I should be, but that's just kind of par for the course.
Well, yeah, you're taking care of other people's stuff, just like a doctor. or the guy that owns a shoe store, his family has the worst shoes because he's busy selling the shoes to other people.
So I always say also that a lousy or ill-timed fall seeding is probably still better than a perfectly timed spring seeding because of all the reasons I had mentioned the last couple of weeks. Soil temperatures are still really warm. I don't have a lot of weed pressure at this point. The only thing that you really need to right now, if you do the seeding, is just make sure you get your sprinklers set up and get some watering done. Get the water on that new seed, and again, you'll be surprised how fast it germinates and comes up. Again, just a lot of things to do this time of year. I've been starting to go through and deadhead some of my perennials. Take the spent blooms off. In some cases, like with peonies, they may be, nearly completely done for the season. If the foliage is not uncommon, especially with older varieties of peonies, they are pretty notorious for getting powdery mildew. So you can go ahead and cut them completely back for the season, and they're going to be perfectly fine. A lot of other perennial flowers are showing symptoms and signs of just kind of lack of rainfall, drying out, and then again the foliage is just starting to decline. So there's a lot of perennials you could go ahead and cut back already if you're feeling ambitious and you want to get out there and get some projects done. I mentioned, I think we talked about it briefly last week, so it's a good topic to continue with as far as mulching, late season. If you cut your perennials back, do, your final kind of trimming and touching up of the landscape plans for the fall, it's not a bad idea at all to put some mulch down. Like I had mentioned, that holds the heat and the warmth into the ground, so it extends your growing season for your plants that you're mulching around. Certainly will eliminate weeds coming up. I know everybody wants that fresh layer of mulch for the spring. Kind of wakes the landscape up and makes, everybody feel all warm and fuzzy because it does look really nice. But fall mulching is probably way more beneficial for the plants than doing it first thing in the spring. Fall fertilization, get a lot of questions about fertilization. I believe we touched on that last week as far as turf goes and how important it is for fall fertilization with your lawns. Makes a huge difference in the growth of the grass and the overwintering hardiness, basically, of the grass, because you feed it well before winter sets in, and it's going to overwinter well. The roots are going to be well established and fat and happy, and it's going to the grass is going to come out really nice early spring and really fill in the spring. That goes exact same principles go for your landscaping. A lot of, you know, everybody thinks of fertilizing their, or most people think of fertilizing their lawn and how important that is to keep it lush and growing well. Well, your landscape plants, again, sometimes, whether it's a perennial or a woody shrub or whatever, can get neglected, and you don't think of fertilizing stuff that's been in for a number of years. But any type of feed, any type of fertilization, you know, this time of year, granulars are very good material product to use. I talked last week about slow release. So if you use a slow release granular in and around all your landscape plants, you're just going to be very surprised, thrilled, happy with what the growth rate and what the density of the foliage, how it looks next season. You're basically, you know, feeding the plants, which is never a bad thing.
So you, if you're doing that, and but there's mulch around it, how does that?
Well, if you're going to mulch, and
so
you're
like
doing,
if you already have mulch there,
I would do the granular fertilizer in that and take a heavy garden rake and kind of mix it into the mulch. Because if you have a real thick, heavy layer of mulch, that's a good question, Neil. If you have a really,
I do that a lot.
If you have a really thick layer of hardwood bark mulch and you put the fertilizer down on top of that, there is, as that fertilizer kind of breaks down with moisture or rain, some of the organic matter in that mulch will tie up some of your food, some of your fertilizer. So it's a good idea to mix it into the mulch, try to get it, you know, closer to the soil. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this time of year, again, a lot of people, you know, again, mulched in the spring, the mulch is starting to be a little bit thinner at this point. So to apply it, kind of work it into the mulch so it gets, you know, close to the, as close to the soil as possible. And then if you're going to mulch, mulch over top of it. Mm-hmm. And that goes the same way with herbicides too. If you're going to do a herbicide, get your herbicide on, whether that be a pre-emergent granular or if you're spraying your weeds with a post-emerge, spray it and then put your mulch across it.
Can you like pull the mulch back from around the plant, 12 inches?
Most definitely.
Put it down and then put the mulch back over top of it?
Absolutely. A lot of people aren't that ambitious. But
if you have a couple of hundred plants, that's a lot of work. If you've got, you know, a dozen or something, you know, you rake it back, put the stuff down and put the mulch back, that would work?
Yeah, that works perfectly fine. And again, you know, people don't think of doing fertilizing, you know, trees, say a tree that's been in 1 year, 10 years, doesn't matter. Fertilizing those plants make a huge difference in growth rate, and then just simply, you know, healthy. The plants will be healthier if they get fed regularly, and you'll have a better growth rate. But again, fertilizing around the plants and try to get it as close to the soil as possible and not just thrown on top. And if you're fertilizing a larger tree out in the yard, don't just take a handful of fertilizer and throw it around the tree in the yard, because there's a good possibility with that, if you do a heavy application, you're going to damage your lawn. So if you've got a mulch ring, you want to try to put the fertilizer at the very far edge of the mulch ring. Keep it away from the trunk of the tree. There's not your roots of your tree that are taking in oxygen, nutrients, and water aren't right up next to the trunk of the tree. They're out at the drip edge of the tree, which is kind of the edge of the canopy. If you really, you know, want to get your trees healthy and growing, if you've got a tree that's struggling, that just has a lousy growth rate or poor density in the foliage, you can do a procedure called vertical mulching, and that's basically going out at the drip edge of the tree and taking a heavy, you know, some kind of a large spike, or if you've got some battery power tools, you can, you know, drill holes maybe about 1.5 inches in diameter, 2 inches in diameter, and go down around 6-8 inches all the way around that drip edge of the tree. Now, that can get fairly labor intensive. But you take a peat mix, like any kind of an organic peat mix, and fertilizer, and mix that together, and then fill those holes with that material, the fertilizer. What you're doing is you're basically, it's a process that's similar to, you know, like core aerating your lawn. You're creating huge voids in the soil, so you're getting oxygen, nutrients, and water down to the root zone very quickly. Loosens the soil again, promotes better roots, better root density, which in turn is going to produce a lot happier, healthier, and denser tree.
You said you'd be drilling these holes around the drip edge about 8 inches deep. How far apart?
You want to go, you can stagger them all the way around if you're really ambitious. Yeah. Or at least maybe 12 to 14 inches apart all the way around. It is labor intensive, but it is an incredibly easy practice. I mean, as far as about anybody can do it, it can take a while, but it really makes a big difference. I always remember at Ohio State on campus, there's hundreds and hundreds of trees that were planted in memory of certain people, past presidents of the university, dignitaries of the university. And a lot of those trees, you know, actually get away from like a real farm type community.
Yeah.
And trees have a lot of value. So you spend time promoting their health and promoting their growth. And there's, you know, there was probably not anymore because the university doesn't have any money because they decided to borderline cancel their football season. And COVID's obviously put a dent in everybody's budget. But there's the horticulture department would go around and vertical mulch a lot of trees on campuses. So you would see these guys, and I was one of them in the day, with a big battery powered drill. And we would go out and we would bore holes on specific trees and fill those holes with, again, that peat fertilizer mixture. It's just a way of helping the tree grow, yeah, helping the tree be healthy, kind of a shot in the arm to keep them happy and healthy, yeah, and growing. So, you know, we'd be all over campus and people would look at us like we're weird. But, you know, when you're in the hort department, you're kind of used to that.
Yeah. So you're saying that works pretty well with things, but it's labor intensive. If you have 6 or 8 trees, most of them are doing well, you probably don't need to do that, but
if they're happy and healthy and look good, mm-hmm, by default, if you're fertilizing your lawn regularly, by default, you're kind of fertilizing your trees. Mm-hmm. Because you should always put the fertilizer down at the right rate for your lawn. And like I said, I mentioned in the past doing soil tests. But the, you know, people think of trees as, you know, having these massive root systems, which they do. But the feeder roots that, again, are the ones that are really making the tree grow, the real fine roots, again, you'll find most of them at the edge of the canopy. So at the, you know, the mm-hmm, very edge of where the leaves are, that's kind of just roughly kind of where how far out the roots are at the canopy edge of the tree. Those roots, the viable ones that are taking in, again, nutrients, oxygen, and moisture, they're all within the top 8 inches of the soil. There are obviously the roots that are down really deep into the ground. Those roots are very important. They keep the tree erect. They keep it, you know, sturdy during windstorms and everything. So those grow, but those actually don't really provide anything but stability for the tree. The roots that are making the tree grow and do its thing are in the top 8 inches of the soil. So again, when you're fertilizing with a granular fertilizer and you think you're fertilizing your lawn, in reality, those trees will pick up a lot of that. And you'll notice that too from, you know, maple trees are, you know, notoriously, a lot of different varieties, especially silver maples, are notoriously shallow rooted. So those roots are really shallow in the ground, and those are the ones that are making the tree grow, basically.
Yep. So let's take a break here, and we'll come back in a little bit and after we hear from some of our sponsors, and we'll get into a little more stuff on what we need to be doing this time of year. Back in just a minute.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
It's Spending more time indoors? Perhaps it's time for a new wall color in your life. At Wangler Ace Hardware, we can make painting a simple pleasure. We carry a full line of quality Clark and Kensington paints available in any color you bring us. The Clark and Kensington paint and primer in one is a great value, starting at just $30.99 a gallon for interior flat finish. Friendly, knowledgeable folks will guide you through choosing paint along with products for surface prep and application. Visit the paint studio at Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery for friendly expert advice on your fall paint project.
They're focused. They see the future as an opportunity. They're growing, and they're looking for someone like you who shares in the same vision for a better future. Cooper Farms has been raising turkeys since 1938, and today they're raising hogs and chicken egg layers and making a variety of delicious food products. What's in store next for Cooper Farms? Join them in their quest for innovation, opportunity, and growth. Apply online today at cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, it's more than just a workplace.
Trader Days is coming up at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road, Thursday through Sunday, October 1st through 4th. Weekend wristbands are just $5 each. Step out and see old friends and make some new friends. Don't miss this big annual event with vendors for everything from collectibles to guns and knives to beef jerky and cheese and all kinds of other flea market stuff. Plenty of parking and food will be available on the grounds, including their famous barbecue chicken dinners on Saturday starting at 4. Don't miss Trader Days, October 1st through 4th at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road.
We are back with Steve Stone on A Walk Through the Garden, Saturday morning, and we have talked about doing some fertilizing, some other things we talked about. So what else do we have, or did we finish our thought on that?
Well, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to take a walk through the house, because this is the time of year when you start getting the cool nights. This is a time of year where you start getting home invaders coming in. The home invaders being different insects that are going to want to
find a warm place to live,
find a nice overwintering place to hang out. And the most typical one that a lot of people have trouble with, and they think about consistently, is the Asian lady beetle, multicolored lady Asian beetle, which looks very similar to the ladybug. It's in the same family, has a red back. The ladybugs do. This one is more kind of an orange brown in color. Size is similar, maybe just a hair bigger. But those are a non-native insect that was introduced into the United States to help agronomic crops, because they have a voracious appetite for eating aphids, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But they also have a voracious appetite for multiplying. And so they were introduced.
Well, that'd be great if they only stayed where we wanted them.
Right. They were introduced.
Can we put up signs and tell them where they need to be?
They were introduced to help, and they certainly they certainly have done that, but they tend to multiply a little bit too rapidly. And as soon as we start getting these cool nights, you'll find them all over in your house, usually around windows, doors, and then they'll kind of congregate in the corners of your ceilings. And they can be quite a nuisance. And again, as the nights get cooler, even if the days are warm, they're going to be finding ways into your home.
How do they get in?
Cracks around. I mean, it's amazing. You think your house is relatively airtight or fairly tight, but anything works, you know, around windows, window trim, window panes. They'll come in around windows, door frames, underneath door sills, cracks in foundations. You'll find them in your basement, crawl space. And then once they get into the crawl space, it's a lot, I mean, pretty easy for them to find a way into the house. So again, there's really the best thing you can do to try to control that is, you know, just simply, you know, find the cracks and caulk around windows, doors, door sills, again, foundation cracks, you know, water spigots where they come out of the house, you know, make sure those are caulked, because they're not stupid. They can feel heat. And so they're landing on your house, and then they're kind of walking around, and it doesn't take long before they can find a warm draft. And then they just follow that heat into your house. You know, again, they can get into the attic relatively easily. and then find their way into, you know, the living space of your house pretty quickly. And so, again, this particular insect, there can be, potentially there could be hundreds of them in your house. And if you see them, the last thing you want to do is try to take a rag or something and try to scoop them up or grab them, because when you, they don't stink as they sit there, but if you smash them, they stink, and then they also will put these green like streaks all over your walls, and then you have to buy stock in Procter and Gamble, because you're going to need a bunch of magic erasers to try to get all those spots off your walls. The best thing to do is to grab a vacuum and vacuum the bugs out, shop vac, something like that. Again, when I say a vacuum, there's different types of vacuums. You want to use something like a shop vac that just pulls them in. Some of them will pull them through like a little like fan or something. You chop them suckers up, and again, they stink to high heaven.
Ooh, yeah.
So again, some kind of a cheap shop vac and vac them up and get them out of your house. And then there's also, that's probably the most common. Then there's also the marmalated stink bug. And now that kind of tells you right there, you probably don't want those in your house.
Yeah.
And that is another insect that will come in and find, you know, try to find heat to overwinter. They're not dangerous. They're not poisonous. They're not going to kill you or your pets or anything, but they can be a nuisance. So it again, is worth the time to grab a tube of caulk or two and caulk all those exterior things that you can see to keep those critters out, because it can certainly be a nuisance indoors.
And spiders.
Well, spiders, yes. I mean, you don't want those indoors either, but spiders are a, no matter how much it pains some people to hear me say that, the spiders are a beneficial insect. So
yeah.
You,
I think everything is except the mosquito. All the rest of them have some sort of...
You typically don't want to spray and kill all of them, because they are a beneficial insect. And I know people just cringe when they hear me say that, but they are.
Well, is there some way to make them stay outside?
I don't know.
I'm sure caulking works, but, you know.
I don't know that spiders necessarily are, you're not going to necessarily find them working their way indoors. Their life cycle is different than the insects that I was talking about. So they're going to be laying eggs, and they're going to have a tendency to stay outside. The ones that you have in your basement and stuff like that, those have been there a while. They haven't probably moved in from outdoors like some of the ones that I had mentioned.
Yep.
Again, just a really, you know, good time of year to, like I had mentioned, get some of those outdoor projects done. Still seeing some of like the late season issues. Like, again, it's been relatively dry. You might still be seeing some rust in your yard when you're out there mowing or working in the lawn and landscape. Rust in your bluegrass is nothing to get excited about, other than it's going to turn your new white tennis shoes orange. Might turn your light colored dog a pale orange. But it's not anything that's going to cause tremendous amount of, actually it's not going to cause any damage at all, really, to your turf, other than it looks unsightly. Once we get some rain and the grass is growing at a normal clip, normal rate, you're basically going to grow the problem right out of the grass. So I had a couple of questions about that. And then a couple questions about powdery mildew in different tall phlox. Person asked me about powdery mildew in tall phlox, and then also on a lilac. This late in the season, it's just not worth. I mean, there's fungicides out there to control it. This late in the season, it's not worth treating. We've had a couple of relatively light frosts, and we're probably going to get some. You know, it's just not worth the time to treat at this point.
Mm-hmm. So let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about some other stuff and wrap things up so you can get on your way. We'll be back in just a minute.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature'sGreenNursery.com.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Wayne Street Market has some great specials for you through October 8th. Their huge steak sale just got better. Ribeyes are $6.99 a pound. New York strips are $6.49 a pound. And T-bone steaks are now just $4.99 a pound. That's right, just $4.99 a pound for T-bones. So now's the time to fill your freezer. And with the weather getting cooler, it's chili time. Ground chuck is just $2.99 a pound, no limit. And all the fixings are on one shelf right when you go in the store. Also, Eckrich smoked sausage, little smokies, and smoky links are all two for $6. Shop local and save big at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
The 2021 Win on the Wabash Super Raffle will be held August 27th and 28th, 2021, and will feature $650,000 worth of cash and prizes given away every 2 minutes from noon to 7 o'clock. Tickets for the 2021 Super Raffle will go for sale on October 3rd at 8 a.m. and can be purchased at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio, or through our website, wowraffle.com. Only 8,000 tickets will be sold and will sell for $100 each, and there is no limit on how many can be purchased per person. Check out all details for the sale of the Super Raffle tickets on our website or Facebook page, and mark your calendars for October 3rd to purchase your 2021 WOW tickets.
We're back. Walk through the garden with Steve Stone. So what else do we have?
Well,
before we wrap up?
We're going to wrap up here pretty quick. I got to run to Salina. It's usually not this busy this time of year, but it, for whatever reason, it is. I just wanted to touch on again to kind of wrap up and go over a couple things we talked about. If you haven't had your garden hoses out and your sprinklers out, it's a good idea to get them things out and water all your plants. The plants, even mature plants that have been in for a long time, especially evergreens, are going to love to be watered. Evergreens, spruces, pines, arborvitaes, junipers, taxus, boxwoods, they don't like to go into winter dry because they need moisture in the foliage and they transpire even through the winter time. They're still, obviously, they're alive. They're still doing their thing through the winter. So they need moisture to keep that foliage happy and healthy. Deciduous plants obviously lose their leaves in the wintertime, and they're completely dormant. So although watering is important, and especially if it's a new plant, it's important to water those in to keep them happy through the wintertime. Evergreens, even mature evergreens, are somewhat susceptible to really dry summers and falls and early winters because, again, if they go into winter really dry and thirsty, they can't support all of that foliage if there's a limited amount of water that it has. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see that plant through the winter just simply sacrifice foliage to stay alive. So it could lose 20, 30, 40% of its foliage through the winter because it's trying desperately to stay alive. So it's going to sacrifice foliage because it just simply doesn't have enough moisture to keep it alive. So that's why it's important to water late season. Water your spruces, pines, arborvitaes, evergreens. Even, you know, if they've been in a while, it doesn't hurt to give them a good soaking because, again, it's just going to make them healthier and more equipped to make it through a long winter. Again, but don't hesitate. And when I say newly planted, too, I mean newly planted could be within the last 5 years. That would still be, in my consideration, newly planted. So deciduous trees and specifically evergreens, you just want to make sure they get watered thoroughly before, you know, before the real cold weather gets here and winter actually sets in. And then we got lots of things to get to next week, so We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. Been Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. We'll be back again next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.